people don't even realize there is no free medical system in America. And I don't mean free by you're getting free healthcare. You're born into a system where you're not given the free choice on how you want to go about healing. You've been presented only one system. And because you've only been presented one system, you think it's the greatest system out there. But the reality is it's not the greatest system. The only reason why they're the only ones at the table is because they created a medical monopoly. I mean, they've gone as far as killing holistic practitioners and banning therapies that can cure cancer. I mean, we've had hundreds of cures of cancer, but most of them, someone ends up, you know, stabbing themselves in the back and hanging themselves and, you know, jumping off the bridge at the same time they shot themselves. And it's like, I don't think that was suicide. You have to understand everything going on is completely demonic, that there's a spiritual play going on here, because it's like there's no way someone came out with this plan perfectly the way they did. But they designed the curriculum to even pick the type of people they wanted for modern medicine. In other words, what they want is the book smart people that can memorize, but they're not critical thinkers, because they want people who are going to take directions and just do what they say. You have to understand the spiritual side, because if you don't understand the spiritual side, you're never going to understand it. And that's been my frustration for the last 3 years, trying to work with all these frontline doctors and all these people who are waking up. They don't want to talk about weaponized pathogens and how they're demonic. As soon as I would mention anything about satanic information technology or how this stuff was demonically designed and handed over, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not going to talk about that stuff. And it's like, well, then you're not going to understand the technology, because the technology is so far advanced, there's no human explanation. In fact, the logical explanation is there's no way we have that technology. That technology can't exist. And it's like, well, why not? Well, because we don't have that kind of technology. I'm like, well, why do you think this came from humans?
Welcome to the Days of Noah podcast, where we talk all things biblical, supernatural, and strange. Today we're privileged to host for the first time Dr. Alfonso Manzo. I learned of Dr. Manzo from Rod Smith from the Millennial Mustard Seed, who's at this point done at least a four-part series with Dr. Manzo, and likely more to come. And this is the first of, we hope, several interviews with Dr. Manzo. He has such a deep knowledge of naturopathic medicine, the tyranny of our medical system, and how weaponized pathogens, nanotech, satanic information technology, and the demonic system that we are in is all tied together in the days of Noah that we live in. It's a rare thing to have someone with his medical and health background and understanding to also understand the supernatural, demonic times that we live in. And yet, God on the throne exposing this evil and making us aware of this beast system in medical tyranny. Guys, if you enjoy this content, please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a 5-star review and share it with your family and friends. With that, let's get started talking to Dr. Manzo. Welcome, Dr. Alfonso Manzo, to the Days of Noah podcast. Man, we are happy to have you. I'm so thankful for my friendship with Rod Smith at the Millennial Mustard Seed, and he just recommends people, or I just listen to an episode and go, I got to have that person on and that person on. And it's just great to make these connections. So, and great name, by the way. I mean, your parents have to have get props for that one, right? Alfonso Manzo. That's awesome. So yeah, happy to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yep.
Yeah, and there was actually three of us.
Three
of third.
You? Oh, okay. So, not three Alfonso's.
Three Alfonso Manzo.
Really?
I'm the third. Actually, my grandfather has passed away.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay. Yep. I was thinking it was a George Foreman kind of thing. No, George one, George two, Georgette.
So someone further back gets the credit to start that great name.
Got it. Yep. So someone else had the junior, you get the third. That's cool. Yeah. Well, welcome. This is great. I mean, you know, what struck me about listening to your episodes with Rod is not only do you have all of the naturopathic alternative medicine background and expertise, but you also have a very strong, you know, finger on the pulse of just this beast system that we are in, the whole moving towards the one world government, one world religion, mark of the beast, PrEP. You know, we've said it many times, COVID being kind of a warm up to that, right? Giving humanity a collective memory of fear that, you know, down the road, whether it's a few years or a few decades, they can go, hey, remember this? Remember how we all had to band together and do something? Well, now we got to do it again. So to me, that's a really unique blend of just what, you know, is in your heart and between your ears is that knowledge of both things. So I thought maybe, you know, just kind of introduce yourself to our audience, your background, your Christian testimony, that sort of thing, just kind of who you are and all that.
Sure. So maybe do a abbreviated version.
Yeah.
So
we that's
like
fine.
Hour the just whole show, on my background. But I was raised Roman Catholic, and I would say I had a lot of wake up during junior high to high school. And so one of the things is I started reading the Bible, and then I started asking questions like, okay, why are we not doing some of these things? And why are we doing these other things that are telling us not to do? And, you know, they didn't like those kind of questions. So I was pretty much out the door pretty quick once I started actually reading the Bible. And I was like, okay, I'll go to some different church or something. And I didn't know where to go. So I just started watching different stuff online. And then that's about the same time I started getting into other interesting books. I think one of the first people I found was, I don't know if you remember him, but Dr. Gene Scott. He used to be online. He had the Los Angeles Cathedral, and he was a very interesting guy. Completely out of the box. He was I wouldn't agree with a lot of his theology now, but he was kind of like an ultra grace guy. So, I mean, to the point where he would get on the stage with these big fancy hats and smoking a cigar and be like, I have my liberties.
Wow.
But he would broadcast 24/7 sometimes, and he was always having these battles with the FCC, and he would call them the beast. And so he would get on air and he would just grab a book, like any book, and just start reading the book and then tying it into the Bible. So he would read books like on Tesla and on how he had weather control devices and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, but you think this is going to play into end time stuff? And I mean, he talked about lost tribes. He just talked about all kinds of stuff. So that got me into reading some different books. And I think one of them was Dark Majesty by Tex Mars. And so this was like early in high school, and reading that book was like, what? Because that book was basically an eye opener to, look, all these different government agencies, the news agencies, a lot of your churches are all actually owned by the same group of people. And I mean, he went all the way up to top. He was well researched and documented. And I read this book and I was just like, whoa. I'm like, so that was kind of like my first exposure to like, okay, the world's not what we think. So then I went into 2 years of electrical engineering while still in high school. And when I was done with that, I decided, I don't think this is what I want to do. So when I did finally decide what I wanted to do, I thought I was going to go into ministry. And I started going to some more independent churches, and that's when I got saved. And then I decided, okay, I want to go to ministry. So I went to Grace College, theological seminary that's in Winona Lake, Indiana. And I have I had two majors. One was youth ministries, because I wasn't sure if I was going to be a pastor or a youth pastor. And then biblical studies was my other major. And that first year in college is when I got sick with ulcerative colitis. And of course, I went to your typical medical doctors, and they found out what it was, and they gave me a name. And then I was like, you know, my engineer mind came on, and I was like, okay, so, you know, was this like bad food, bad diet? And they're like, nope. I'm like, okay, was this like, you know, hereditary? They're like, nope. And I'm like, you know, I'm going down the list, and finally there was nothing. There's like no cause. So I'm like, well, what is this? And the doctor literally said, bad luck. And I'm like, bad luck? I'm like, well, if you don't know why I have the problem and the disease, then how are you going to fix it? Right. If I'm working on someone's electrical system in their house and I don't know what the problem is, you're not going to fix it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we have drugs. And if the drugs don't work, we're probably going to have to cut your colon out. And that's where it was heading. And because the drugs weren't really working that great in the beginning. So because of that, I went all natural. And I found a natural practitioner in Ohio, because I live in Ohio. He was in Cleveland, Dr. Barron. And I think he was 93, 94 when I saw him. He looked like he was 70. Wow. He'd been doing holistic medicine and basically his entire life. He came right over from Germany, ironically. And ironically, his parents wanted him to be an electrical engineer. And instead, he became a doctor. And he was, you know, a normal German, really rough. And he was, you know, so I'd go in there and he's like, well, these are your problems. We're going to do this blood test. We're going to do these things. And he did like a live blood, showing me my blood on the microscope. And he's like, here's all these parasites and you have allergies and you're eating a really bad diet. You're loaded with heavy metals. And this is the reason why you have the problem. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm on these drugs too, and I don't feel good on them. And he's like, get off of them. You know, it's just like, I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. Well, I was like, great. And, you know, in a year's time, I was back to normal. And incredible. I didn't really miss much school. I missed like a semester. And Grace College was really cool because they were able to record all my classes and send them to me each week. And I would watch the classes at home. I think it was on VHS still. That's how old this was. Mm-hmm. And then I would do all my work correspondence. So even though I was at home recovering, I didn't have to actually miss. And because of that, then when I went back to Grace, I changed my major. I kept the biblical studies, but I dropped the youth ministries and picked up biology, which was basically like their pre-med. And then that's what happened. So after I got out of school, of undergrad, I had to decide what did I want to become in the natural holistic world. You know, I thought about being a chiropractor. I thought about Chinese medicine. I thought about, well, maybe I do want to become a medical doctor and then try to do natural. I turned that down real quick because I started reading books on the history of modern medicine, which, you know, none of us really know where modern medicine came from because we've been born into the system.
Right.
I mean, this stuff started back in the 1910s. So everyone today has just been born in the system. And we just think, well, modern medicine is the greatest thing ever, right? I mean, they're the top dog, so they have to be good. But we don't really realize where they came from. So eventually I decided, no, I'm going to be a naturopathic doctor. And then I can focus and specialize on the biophysics of the body because that... my background in electrical engineering got me really interested in, does the body really have these electromagnetic systems and what's really going on with energy and frequency? Because those are things you hear a lot in the new age world. But what I was seeing was, wait a minute, this makes sense with how science works. This makes sense with how the creation works. And even at Grace College, I did for Old Testament studies, we had to do a paper on something that lined up with during the time of the Old Testament. And I picked the ancient practices of the medical practices of the ancient Egyptians. And I was fascinated to find out that they had all the same surgical devices that we have today in modern medicine to the T. It's just ours are fancier and cleaner now. And they were actually doing brain surgeries. And I'm like, oh, so modern medicine really isn't modern.
Wow.
This is the same thing the Egyptians were doing.
Do you think they picked up on, I mean, did they, gosh, how did they come about with that information? You know, other than like almost a Nephilim kind of tech that was given to them of how to do this stuff. Because you don't just trial and error go, oh, yeah, maybe I'll make this shape and I'll make this sort of cut and I'll be, you know, and I'll keep the person alive.
Right. Yeah. And from the records, I found that they had successful brain surgeries where people were still alive afterwards. So you look at that stuff and you go, whoa, is our technology really new? Or has it just been brought back from, like you said, Nephilim?
Yeah.
That's the only common denominator you can really find.
Right.
Which fits perfect with your guys' name of the show.
That's for sure.
The Days of Noah. We really are back at the Days of Noah right now. But I also did a paper on traditional Chinese medicine in the Bible. And the conclusion of the paper was actually traditional Chinese medicine was more biblically based than modern medicine. And I still get in debates with people on this because they're like, oh, no, Chinese medicine was based on a pagan philosophy and religion. And I'm like, actually, it wasn't.
Yeah, maybe let's get into that for a second, because I was going to ask you, you know, you hear some from well-meaning Christian sources, stay away from acupuncture or these types of things. You're opening yourself up to whatever, maybe some spiritual doorways or something. So maybe talk about, what is biblical about that Chinese system?
Yeah, I think what it's important for people to understand is there is, you know, in Ecclesiastics, it says we're supposed to avoid all extremes. And, you know, the idea in life everywhere is finding balance. Unfortunately, we usually go on pendulum swings where, you know, if you're involved with something that's really bad and you come out of it, your tendency is to go to the opposite extreme. And everything you were involved with was demonic and pagan. And you were delivered from that. And it's like, well, that's not necessarily true because we can do that with anything. You know, you can sit there and go, well, you know, what are the pagans doing? Well, they're eating food and they're drinking water and they're breathing and they're having sex. So we can't do any of those things. It's like, okay, you know, if you were abused sexually and you came out of that, you might have the idea that, well, sex is a bad thing. And it's like, well, that's not the proper balance view. The way they used it was bad. Right. So it's really important for people to understand that the tools that were given, most of all this stuff, well, everything on earth was created by the creator. And the enemy is only a counterfeiter. So usually it's not the tool, it's how it's being used. Right? You can use a hammer to put in a nail, or you can use a hammer to kill someone. So when it comes to Chinese medicine, the first points were actually discovered by a military general. He had asthma and he got hit with an arrow. And when they got the arrow out of him, his asthma was gone. And they hit a lung point. Well, they went around finding anyone who had asthma and they would hit him at that point. And the asthma would go away. And then that's how they started developing Chinese medicine, actually, in the martial art systems. Is when someone had a health problem, they got hit somewhere and it went away, they'd find everyone else and hit them in the same place. And slowly they had 2 points and 3 points and 4 points.
Wow.
Now, we have something today called traditional Chinese medicine. And most people don't realize that that was formulated during the 1950s when China was under communist rule. So what people don't realize is when they were under the communist rule, they were not allowed to have anything religious because they're atheists. So they had to strip all religious principles from their form of medicine and only use that which they could prove scientifically.
Okay.
And that got renamed as traditional Chinese medicine, which is what was brought to America. So a lot of people don't know those stories, and so they can get confused. But when you look at it's the mindset of traditional Chinese medicine and most holistic practices, A lot of the holistic practices came more from the East, which is really ironic because here in America, we have this idea that everything from the West is better. And it's like, well, everyone who wrote the Bible was from the East. Jesus was from the East. So actually, you find that the Eastern perspective is a lot more in line with the Hebrew way of viewing things, the Hebrew okay. worldview, than the Western worldview. So they tend to see things more holistically. We're very compartmentalized over here.
That's interesting because, you know, Rod's talked about this many times, especially with his wife from the Philippines, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That it seems like Eastern folks, they talk about the supernatural like it's, you know, no, we do not go out at night. I mean, there are spirits out there. Like their encounters with that worldview is very holistic. And then here in the West, it's like, oh, that's for Marvel. That's a Hollywood movie. It's fiction.
Yeah. And that's the big thing for people to understand. Modern medicine, what we call allopathic medicine, is a very reductionist, compartmentalized, Newtonian physics viewpoint in which they don't believe anything exists unless they can see it. So they don't really believe in a spirit or a soul or the innate wisdom of the body that can heal itself. All holistic therapies all over the world believe that's the one thing that sets us apart. All holistic therapies believe that there is an innate wisdom in the body that is probably being governed by the soul spirit that allows the body to heal itself. That there's actually the software that's running the body.
Right.
And that we are directly connected to, most people would say, some type of creator, right? Now, different religions come in and they have different opinions on who the creator is and what that means. But they all really acknowledge that, well, like even the Eastern Hebrew mindset, even if they're not Hebrews, but in the East, the idea of God is like...
Welcome to the Lost Roman Heroes podcast. My name is Matthew.
And my name is Matteo.
We are serious nerds for Rome, and we are father and son.
Together on the Lost Roman Heroes podcast, we dive deep into the history of Rome, from its origin story starring Aeneas of Troy to its death with Constantine the 11th, uncovering Rome's greatest heroes along the way and ranking them.
There are plenty of great podcasts on the big men in Rome's history, guys like Caesar, Augustus, and Constantine, but that's not us. We're making this podcast to shed a light on Rome's forgotten heroes. From Cincinnatus to Scipio, from Aurelian to Belisarius and beyond, you will not believe the gems that we uncover. So please come join the Legion of Lost Roman Heroes and listen to us wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, or find us at www.lostromanheroes.com.
It's a duh. It's like, well, yeah, God exists. We don't question the existence. Over here, like, that's our first question. Does God even exist? And it's like, over there, it's like, well, that's just assumed that God exists.
Right.
And then they're really into more like relationships. We're more into like, we want to know how God works. Right. Mm. So you can go down the list of like all, looking at all the different aspects between the East versus the West. And that's why when I was done going through those different aspects, I'm like, whoa. Chinese medicine is a lot more biblical because they would talk about how your thoughts and your emotions can affect the body.
Yeah, the psychosomatic connections, right?
Yeah. And when they started mapping out like different thoughts and how they relate to different organs, I would start finding these things, same things in the Bible. When the Bible's talking about the thoughts of the heart and then it mentions these different things. And I'm like, whoa, I'm like, wait a minute, they're saying the same thing. And here in the West with modern medicine, it's like, oh, that doesn't matter. Your emotions and your thoughts have nothing to do with whether or not you have heart disease, and everything's compartmentalized. So you have a heart specialist and you have a colon specialist and you have, you know, bone specialists. And it's like, well, wait a minute, the whole body works together, but not in their perspective. Everything's completely separate. And the other thing is they don't believe in the idea of creation or nature. Like, so we would look at it and say, no, God created nature. And he put everything in nature for us. because, I mean, that was the original design. He's like, okay, I'm going to create these humans, but first I'm going to create an environment for them to live in, and I'm going to put everything they need into nature. Allopathic medicine doesn't believe that, and they don't start with creation. They start with evolution. So you're just a bag of chemicals, and it was an accident, and if the chemicals aren't working right, we're just going to manipulate it with more chemicals. So it's like, whoa, 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 that's not...
I was just going to use that word. That is the allopathic system is, yeah, we're going to manipulate. You have this system, or this symptom. I'm going to give you this, and that triggers something that overcomes that symptom or whatever. And even in the natural supplement world, we can be way too allopathic too, right? We can be like, oh, I need this, 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 this. And now you're taking, you know, 50 pills every day, and it's not holistic.
Yeah, that is very true. The practice of holistic medicine today has become very corrupt. And I think a lot of that started with functional medicine, which is mainly allopathic doctors who are leaving the medical field. The problem is they haven't been trained like a naturopath. So myself as a naturopath, in this country, naturopaths and homeopaths were the original doctors when America started. And then what happened in the probably the 1910s is, the first thing that happened is they created the first synthetic vitamin. And they found they could do that with fossil fuel. So that's how the bankers who owned the oil got involved with making synthetic chemicals. And then they decided, hey, we could make a whole system around this. So they got... In the early days, it used to be called the Unholy Trinity. I don't even know if you can find that reference to this hardly anymore. There's three really good books. There's one book called Dirty Medicine. There's called Racketeering in Medicine. And then the really good one is Murder by Injection. And they trace a lot of this history. But you had the big bankers, which owned gas, funded most of the first pharmaceutical companies, which was IG Farben and Bayer Company. And they were working with Nazi Germany, and they were working with us. And so the first three pharmaceutical companies came to the table. The second source was they created the AMA, and then they created the FDA. And most people don't know the story on the FDA. The FDA was one guy, and he started the FDA, and he started this thing called the stamp of approval, which meant you brought your drug, or a lot of things were natural at that point still, your natural remedy in, and we're test it, and we're find out if it's safe and effective. Well, he got sued something crazy, like 20 times in the first 3 years, because people started realizing, well, this product's been around for thousands of years and you're not approving it, but this new pharmaceutical drug gets approved. And what happened in court is they found out he had no laboratory and he wasn't testing anything. It's literally, if you paid him money, you got a stamp of approval. And that's how the FDA started. Now, you think it's any difference?
What decade was that?
Oh, that would have probably been like their early 1900s. So these three entities, pharmaceutical companies, the AMA, and the FDA, that was the unholy trinity. And they sat down and they discussed what medical doctors would learn in college and in the curriculum.
And how does that play into the Rockefellers? Because I've heard they funded the universities, so that instead of this level playing field, if we can think of it that way, of homeopathic, naturopathic, holistic, and some pharma, they wanted pharma to be far and above the way doctors were trained.
Yep. So they had like a four-prong or more attack. Let's see if I can remember them all. First was coming up with their own curriculum. So Rockefeller and the Carnegies and the, what's the other one? Rothschilds.
Yep.
They were the ones funding the pharmaceutical schools and the other two organizations, the AMA and the FDA. So they were like, let's make up the curriculum on what we want doctors to learn and what we want doctors to do. Drugs, surgery. Yes. That's it. Number two was they hired Flexer, who did the Flexer report. And that whole attack was, let's make holistic medicine look stupid, dumb, outdated, old wives' tales, non-scientific, and let's make us look like we had the scientific method. So they went out to just bash holistic medicine and make it look like it wasn't real science. And at the same time, they started popping up their universities and saying, oh, look, we have the latest science. We're scientific. We're not this old wives' tale stuff that, you know, goes back thousands of years. It's not scientifically based. The third thing they did is they started passing laws. So they used their money and their influence to go in and pass laws. And they got laws passed saying the only form of medicine in America is modern medicine. And you have to be licensed as an MD to practice. And only modern medicine can diagnose, treat, or cure. Well, now you have a monopoly. And this is why people don't understand holistic medicine, because when they talk to someone like myself, they want to know, can you diagnose XYZ? Can you cure this? And it's like, I can't use that terminology. Why? Well, they pass laws.
Also the insurance. Because yes. If I want to go to someone like yourself, I can't take my Blue Cross necessarily. So the insurance agencies are tied into this MD drug surgery system as well, right?
Yeah. So that was the fourth thing, is they turned this into a socialized system. So what people have to understand is they set up a medical mafia monopoly very subtly. And it looks real scientific, but they changed the laws. They made all the natural stuff look bad. They made theirs look scientific. And then they brought in the insurance where, okay, now we're going to get you to think that health is not your responsibility. It's someone else. And if you have insurance, then the insurance is going to cover it, which basically eventually became the government's taking care of you. And of course, they're all in it. They're all funded by the same people. So they're all scratching each other's backs. And what is the insurance going to pay for? We're only going to pay for what we deem is real medicine. So people don't even realize there is no free medical system in America. And I don't mean free by you're getting free healthcare. I mean, you're born into a system where you're not given the free choice on how you want to go about healing. You've been presented only one system, and because you've only been presented one system, you think it's the greatest system out there. But the reality is it's not the greatest system. The only reason why they're the only ones at the table is because they created a medical monopoly, and they've gone as far as killing holistic practitioners and right. banning therapies that can cure cancer. I mean, we've had hundreds of cures of cancer. But most Absolutely. Of them, someone ends up, you know, stabbing themselves in the back and hanging themselves and, you know, jumping off the bridge at the same time they shot themselves. And it's like, I don't think that was suicide. You know?
Yeah. What is that old, it's like a Chinese medicine saying or something about a good doctor or a bad doctor. I thought there was three parts, but it's like the good doctor prevents disease, the bad doctor treats it after it's already happened or something like that, right?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it either.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, I wanted to ask you, so you got this origin of Western medicine, turn of the century, last century, the pharmaceutical industry tied to it, the manipulation of insurance. So you got this trifecta going on. Do you see anywhere in the world, because obviously our influence has spread to Europe and other places, so they're just duplicating what we've done.
Yes.
But is there places around that are still, you know, doing maybe both in a healthy balance?
That's a really good question. Definitely not here, but some of the Asian countries still and European, I would say that the holistic approaches are still ingrained in the average person. So the cultural perspective still is, hey, we've always used this stuff. So yeah, let's combine it with the modern stuff, but let's not throw one out. Where here it was a hostile takeover in the early 1900s. So by the time they were done, it was like you really couldn't find any homeopaths or naturopaths. And it's really something that's kind of been coming back slowly. But even that field has now kind of been, infiltrated. So with the functional medicine, like I was explaining. So unfortunately, these doctors, they get trained a very specific way in modern medicine. And we can even get more into that on like how demonic it really is. And then when they decide, well, I want to be more holistic, it's like, what do you do? Usually all they do is they go and they take like a weekend course. And it's like, well, that's not the same thing as a naturopath, because we have to still do pre-med. We learn all the same stuff that medical doctors can learn. In fact, some states allow naturopaths to prescribe drugs and do minor outpatient surgery, like just an office surgery. But we mainly focus on what are the natural laws of cure, because there are natural laws of cure. If you study nature, you find out how the body really works, how it was actually designed to work. And there's laws of detox, and there's laws of healing. And those are all the things we learn. And we learn all the different remedies that would be naturally occurring, like light therapy, water therapy, diet, nutrition, herbs. I mean, you name it. If it's found in nature, we study it. Whereas if you're coming from that other perspective, you don't have any of that foundational, right? And then you go take this weekend course, and what it turns out to be is, okay, so here's your disease. These are the symptoms. And instead of getting to the root cause, let's just treat the symptoms with synthetic supplements like we used synthetic drugs. And it's like, okay, well, you got one foot out of hell, but you're still in hell because you're actually just synthetically making supplements now, which is not the same as what you find in nature.
Right.
So, but they think it's the same, because in science, that people have been convinced that synthetic vitamin C, which we usually call ascorbic acid, is the same thing as naturally occurring vitamin C, but it's not.
Peter, do you remember when, so my mom got into a lot of supplements, vitamin C's and stuff. Yeah. And the particular company that she was with, I want to say it was Shaklee,
yep,
was teaching her, stuff that you've bought and put it on a cookie sheet and put it in the oven. And the synthetic chemicals in it would manifest itself. I'm very simplifying. I don't know if that's the exact process, but it was exposing to her what you're saying. It's like, okay, those are, you know, not good for your body, even though they claim on the label it's you know, natural supplement, but it's actually synthetic based.
Yeah, and Shaklee used to be one of those companies that were really big in like whole food nutrition. I don't know where they are now, but so if you look at things energetically, like they have like Corellian photography where you can look at the light field that comes off, you can see the light field of energy that comes off a synthetic supplement versus a whole food is completely different. The other thing we now know is if you use a electron microscope, like 100 times magnification, and you look at ascorbic acid versus the whole food complex of vitamin C, this is across the board with almost all of them. The synthetic substance will have these very big square-like crystalline structures. And the whole food supplement will have these really, really small round balls. So even the structure of it is completely different. And it's like, well, okay, so if you're taking that, which one do you think is going to get into the cell better? A nice little round ball, or this big clumpy crystalline structure that, and the thing is, your body doesn't know what it is. And since it's synthetic, it has a very powerful effect at forcing symptoms, just like the pharmaceutical drugs. So you start taking this stuff and you feel better because it's forcing your symptom, but it's not actually addressing the cause. And it will cause more deficiencies. And then, 5, 6 years later on a synthetic supplement, you're eventually going to crash and then you're going to have more problems.
Wow.
And then you're going to be all confused because it's like, well, I thought I was doing the right thing. And I think this is another attack from the industrialized medical field to try to make the natural stuff look bad. This is what they always do. They bring in a fake and they give it to you. It doesn't work. And then everyone thinks that fake was the real thing. And it's like, oh, see, we told you those herbs were stupid. And it's like, well, that it wasn't really an herb. It wasn't an herb.
It wasn't the real thing. They've been doing that for decades. I mean, going back to the 70s with amygdalin and in Laetril, right? In yep. G. Edward Griffin's book, World Without Cancer. It took Sloan Kettering, I think, 2 years to come out with the results of the study because they had to figure out how to fudge it and how to say it. If they had the truth, they would have come out right away. And you have that Chinese or Japanese, I'm sorry, I forgot, doctor who his reputation was so good for his studies. His colleagues said that if he did it once, they didn't have to duplicate the study. And they asked him when Sloan Kettering fudged the numbers because they took the control group and mixed it with the placebo or however they did that. They fudged it to make it statistically insignificant that this was actually curing cancer. And they asked him after the press release because he was so upset, do you stick by your results that it actually works? And in his broken English, he says, I stick. Yeah. And but that's what they do. They fudge the numbers. And they did it with hydroxychloroquine, right? They gave, what, 4 or 5 times the normal dose? They gave a lethal dose? Oh, this stuff is dangerous.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think what people don't understand is they've been doing that forever. It's like I said, the story about how the FDA began. Well, you think it changed any? No, they make it look more scientific now. But the bottom line is who's ever paying the bill is the results. And I forget, I wish I had the study in front of me, but someone did a study not long ago. Actually, Harvard Medical did a study. I think it was like in 2020. And there was 2 things that came out. One was that 90% all of your medical research is basically fudged. And this is one thing people don't understand is when you find a medical research paper, whether it's a clinical study or a double-blind study, they will have a summary and an abstract. And I would bet 90% of the time, they lie in the summary and the abstract. And if you actually read the full study, you would find out that what was actually proven in the study was completely opposite of what they put in the summary and the abstract. Now, why did they do that? Well, they know most people don't have time, and most medical doctors don't have time to read the full study. So what are they going to read? They're going to read the abstract summary, and then they think they know what the study was about. And so they just blindly believe, but when you actually go back to the study and read the whole thing, you go, wait a minute, that's not what you just proved. And we're so compartmentalized here in the West that we don't realize they've actually designed medical school. I mean, it was, you have to understand everything going on is completely demonic, that there's a spiritual play going on here, because it's like, there's no way someone came out with this plan perfectly the way they did. But they designed the curriculum to even pick the type of people they wanted for modern medicine. In other words, what they want is the book smart people that can memorize, but they're not critical thinkers, because they want people who are going to take directions and just do what they say. And the whole process of medical school is basically break you down and rebuild you. And they do it in such a way that when you're done, you almost have this God complex. Like, look, I'm a medical doctor now. I know everything. I've been taught the best. Just listen to what I say. And they don't even know they're doing it. And this is why it's so hard sometimes for modern doctors to listen to me. And I always try to say, you know, hey, your medical doctor might be the greatest guy God ever created, but if he doesn't understand that he's been taught wrong and that we're so compartmentalized in the West, he does not realize. Yeah, I mean, this could be like an elder in your church and he could be a medical doctor. He does not realize that the system of medicine that he was taught is not in line with his religious beliefs. That they don't actually believe in the spirit and the soul as they practice. even though he might believe it in his religion world, but that's in one box and his medical world is in another box, and those boxes don't touch because they're compartmentalized, and he doesn't even realize that he's living in his own dialectic. It's like how you're practicing and what you believe are not meeting.
And wasn't it the Rockefellers as well that influenced our education system to create the worker bees that could just memorize information and spit it out and not critical think as well?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So the whole system set up, and then we're born into that system. I mean, you figure by the time this was done, I think it was in 1920 was when the Fletcher Report came out. And after that was done, modern medicine was pretty much solidified. So you would say by the 1930s, it was modern medicine. So anyone born after that time, the only thing you've known is, well, we have the best medicine in the world. And then it's even worse because you get into religious thought, religious think in counseling. We learn something about religious thought, which is really bad. It doesn't really have anything to do with what the Bible teaches or truth. It has to do with like hive mind thinking, religious thought. And this is how cults are made. But the religious thought is, well, this is the greatest medicine in the world because it's Christian based. And we have Christian medicine over here because we're a Christian nation, because we're America. And it's like, wait a minute. I'm like, there's so many problems with that thought process. It's like, just because you're American doesn't mean you're a Christian.
The compartmentalization is interesting too that you bring up, because, you know, I don't know. I remember hearing about like why cholesterol is the boogeyman for the heart. They did like a 3-day study of shoving cholesterol in vegetable oil to pigs and determined in 3 days that that was the issue. They didn't look at the vegetable oil as maybe a inflammatory issue, but yeah, they love to pick on one little thing and go, this is the boogeyman, and I have the thing to treat that thing.
But have you seen the old ads, black and white ads that might have been in magazine print, and that, like, for sugar? They were touting how sugar was like the supplement that's going to make you a better athlete and help you lose weight. It sounds crazy today, but that was what was preached years ago.
Yeah, well, you remember the commercials where the doctor's smoking?
Yes.
I choose Camel. You know,
that's like, right.
And so the other thing people have to understand is, behind the scenes, one of the number one things that are running in modern medicine is eugenics. And that came right over with the Nazis. And eugenics has always been a fundamental principle of modern medicine, whether you know it or not, whether they're telling you that or not, that is a fundamental principle that runs behind the scenes in modern medicine is eugenics. And, you know, you don't have to go very far where you realize we actually did experiments on our own people. And who was doing those experiments? It was the medical doctors. Who did the experiments on the Nazis? It was the medical doctors. You didn't see the naturopaths doing that stuff. It wasn't the homeopaths doing that stuff. It was always the medical doctors. And it's like, why is that? Well, it's because of the way they're trained. You could almost say their training is a form of brainwashing.
Yeah.
And then some really evil people in there, it's like, well, now you're really, you know, like Fauci. I mean, look at the people who are running the game right now. You know, it's hard to say that they're not absolutely demonic, or if they're not even from the Nephilim bloodlines themselves. You have to wonder, it's like, okay, how evil do you have to be these people?
Yeah, it's totally in line with the Nephilim host characteristics that Dr. Laura Sanger talks about.
Yep.
And in re-listening to the chapters on Shiro Ishii and the Japanese experiments in Unit 731 and that they did on the Chinese, and we hired the guy after the war. The Russians wanted to prosecute him. We'll get into that later, but RFK Jr. in his book, The Wuhan Cover-Up, talks about it seems like people in the bioweapon industry have this like moral degradation, so psychopathic on that level. Yeah, let's unpack kind of the sorcery, right? Pharmakia, sorcery, the demonic nature of modern medicine. yeah, get into all of that stuff. I think that's really important for people to understand.
Yeah, and I think that's, I'm so glad you recommended that book, because that is such a phenomenal book. Because the stuff I've been talking about for 4 or 5 years now, I mean, he almost mentions all of it in the book. I mean, I cannot believe he even mentions weaponized MFI and stuff like that. And he's talking about the stealth weapons. And I was talking about that back in 2019. People thought I was absolutely crazy until 2020 hit. And then people were like, oh, maybe Dr. Monzo didn't go crazy. Maybe this stuff is... And the stuff he's writing in his book is right from what I've been talking about. And it's like, I've been pulling my teeth for the last 3 years trying to get people to listen.
Yes.
But yeah, when you look at this from a big picture, it's like, you have to understand the spiritual side. Because if you don't understand the spiritual side, you're never going to understand it. And that's been my frustration for the last 3 years, trying to work with all these frontline doctors and all these people who are waking up. They don't want to talk about weaponized pathogens and how they're demonic. As soon as I would mention anything about satanic information technology or how this stuff was demonically designed and handed over, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not going to talk about that stuff. And it's like, well, then you're not going to understand the technology, because the technology is so far advanced, there's no human explanation. In fact, the logical explanation is there's no way we have that technology. That technology can't exist. And it's like, well, why not? Well, because we don't have that kind of technology. I'm like, well, why do you think this came from humans? And no one seems to want to go down that road. So I'm very cautious these days, just because of what I encountered in the last 3 years. I think there's so many fakes, even on the front line. We have this whole thing of frontline doctors, and it's like, they don't really want to talk about real solutions and what this really is. Very few of them. And I've talked to a lot of them. In fact, a lot of them have been to my clinic. A number of them, when they were in having problems, came to my clinic, but you never hear them talk about me. They never mention my research. It's like, we're not going to talk about that stuff to the public. And it's like,
Yeah,
well, that's interesting.
It's a gate-kept system, unfortunately. I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the interview with Dr. Joe Lee on Sean's program, SGT Report, talking about, he says, half the vaccines out there are bioweapons, literally. Yep. And he diagrams how they create this chain. But he says he's submitted it to the people who are the vaccine whistleblowers, like RFK and others, and it goes nowhere. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought you guys were on our side trying to expose some of this stuff, but they'll only take it so far.
Yep. And I don't know if that's because they know they're up against the beast.
Yeah.
And they can't actually win, or are they part of the dialectic? And they're pretending to be the good side guys on one side, and then you had the bad guys on the other side, and the reality is both sides are bad. And they're both just kind of marching you towards the new world system. And it's like, oh, we're going to, you know, it's like WWF. I'm going to smash you through a table and smash your head in. And, you know,
yeah.
After the event in the backstage, they're all friends.
Yep. No, it is. It's the white side and the dark side system. And yep. Satan is learning that he can accomplish far more from being the white side savior.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Just like he did. I'm listening to, I'm almost done with over 30 hours of the late Chuck Misler's series on the Book of Revelation.
Oh, his stuff is so good.
Oh, man. And he's talking about, the different church ages that are actually in Revelation 2 and 3, the seven letters that Jesus wrote, actually can map out the church history for the last 2,000 years. And in the early church, there was the persecution and the killing of Christians, and we flourished. And then Satan realized that he could accomplish more by co-opting it. And so when it became accepted and buddied up with Constantine and others, that he did far more damage in that era.
Doc, I want to ask you, so obviously you're tying together what's going on in our modern medicine, quotations with the modern, with the demonic influence. So a lot of this seems to be connected to Nazi Germany, which Nazi Germany yes. is known to be rife with dealing with the demonic side or the pagans' religions and
the occult.
So the occult. So they tapped into that, but then they mix that with their policies politically, with the practice of the Angel of Death, Dr. Mengele, and his practice of medicine and all of these experiments. So is it as simple as blaming the Nazis, or is there something else going on? I mean, we obviously, after the war, the Russians took a large part. We took, in the U.S., took a large part of the research, and you almost had this Cold War taking place from a technology standpoint, you know, based on the Nazis' research. So how does that all tie into pharmaceutical and what we're dealing with today?
I think that's an excellent question. And I think it does have two sides. I don't think it's all the Nazis. However, when you look at where we are now, when we start talking about weaponized nanotech pathogens, which is one of my specialties, all that technology really came out of the Nazis. But I think what we do find is, if you look, you take a step back and look at history in general, the Nephilim bloodlines never really got wiped out. And I think they've always been behind the scenes trying to bring this stuff about. And so I think there's many different layers that people play in. I think there's a people at the very top who are probably Nephilim or Nephilim hosts. And then you, underneath that, you have people who are very demonic Satanists. And then, you know, you just have different levels of people being deceived. They work for the system, and maybe they think the system is great. They think maybe they're developing technologies that's going to save everybody or cure cancer or whatever. And they're just doped into not really asking the questions. And, you know, they're just taking the orders from the what's coming down from the top. But I think what happened in Nazi Germany, it was a really interesting time, because they were really tapping into talking to demons or Nephilim and getting the secret knowledge. And I think that was just, I mean, you just came out of the time of, what were the two big ones? Aleister Crowley and...
Blavatsky?
Yeah, what was the other one?
Bailey?
With the bald head.
Levin?
Levin. So you have all that stuff playing out, and it seems like there was a reemergence into the demonic. And really after that, when you really look at it, at that same time period afterwards, technology has exploded. So I think what we see is they tapped into the demonic. They started getting all this technology, all this information, and they started putting it to practice. And it's like, I think they were there the whole time just waiting for a group of people who would actually listen to them and actually just put it into practice. And you see how they set up their chess game. It's like they took over the monetary system. They took control of the power systems. They took over the technology. They took over the medical field. So they started creating their beast system. And everywhere you look, it's like, oh, they control that too. Oh, they can control that there. Oh, they control the media. So they can just push their agenda. And they've been very patient at rolling it out nice and slow to just kind of bring everyone along and just think this is some great thing. But yeah, that's what happened there in the 1940s with the Nazis, is they started really learning how to take multiple organisms and mix them together like a chimera. And then they add into that toxins and nanotechnology. And my view is, from just looking at all the documents, and then a lot of the stuff I learned was just downloads. God just had to give me downloads and speak to me, and I had to write stuff down and figure it out, because some of this stuff, like in the JFK book, you can just find from looking at the documents. I mean, they have patents. And that's how I got into this. I found out about WMFI, which is Weaponized Mycoplasma Fermentans Incognitus, and the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology admitted that that was the first one that they made with the Nazis. And then that led me into the nanotech, but let me see if I can find it. Here we go.
Doc, what was that specific use for? What did the military want with that particular wand?
Basically, gain of function.
We can weapon. Loose this on our enemies, yep. And we don't have to lose any soldiers.
Yep. Now, this is the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. This is what they admitted that WMFI created. Okay, and you have to remember, this is probably early 1950s, right? After Project Paperclip, the scientists are over here. This one weaponized pathogen, they admit, created AIDS, ALS, cancer, IBS, diabetes, chronic fatigue, MS, Parkinson's, rheumatoid arthritis, Alzheimer's, autoimmune thyroid, Wagner's disease, collagen vascular diseases, Lyme disease, and fibromyalgia. And, oh yeah, they also mention prions or prions. And it's like, what? So when I found that research, that's when my head exploded and I went, you mean they've been in the business of making disease since the 1950s, 1940s? And that's what I realized. And JFK even hints at it in his book. I don't think he goes far enough because he's not looking at the spiritual part.
Or RFK, rather.
RFK. Yeah, RFK,
yep,
my
yep,
friend.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, not JFK. He's gone. Well, maybe he's gone. We don't know.
We don't know.
No, I'm not going to go down that road.
Although, if you haven't, another book I can recommend to you, Dr. Mary's Monkey. Have you heard of that one?
I have not seen that one.
Dr. Mary's Monkey. Oh, it's fantastic. Huh? Yeah, about the using the monkey biology to culture, and then the virus that was in polio vaccine was created from that, and now you're infected millions of people with this cancer causing virus. Anyway,
I separate it. I call them weaponized pathogens, and really weaponized nanotech pathogens. And I think they are actually different than biological warfare. Of course, they call them all biological warfare. But I see biological warfare as you've changed something chemically or some type of pathogen you've changed to kill people. So when they're exposed to it, it's almost instant death. This weaponized nanotech pathogen stuff is, it doesn't really kill people. It just creates diseases. And it plays a subtle role in behavior modification. And ultimately, it's pushing people towards transhumanism. So it's like, it goes right back to the agenda of problem solution. Let's create diseases, and then we're going to give you drugs for the diseases. And my suspicion today is that the drugs do nothing more than to tell the nanotechnology how to stop attacking the body, to turn off a certain symptom so you're feeling better, and then they turn on new symptoms and put you on more drugs. So you're paying all this money to insurance, and while you're paying all this money to insurance to a medical system, that while you're under their care, you continually get sicker, and they sell you more drugs, and they steal all your money, and at the end of life, they have no real answers for you, and you end up dying. I mean, that is the medical system we have now.
It is.
So it's like, well, who's fingerprint is that?